Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It is 7:05, November the 16th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. That's not just one line. We have thousands. But that's just the number we use. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com, and hopefully the chat room is up today. It's been working for a lot of people. For some reasons, it doesn't catch everybody, but... Hey, joined today by Bad Bob.
And good morning.
Hey, how you doing today, Bad Bob?
Excellent. Fantastic looking sunrise and enjoying the day.
So you're living the good life here. Is that what you're saying there, Bad Bob?
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay. That's what I just want to hear. I don't want to hear an explanation. I'll tell you if it's a good day or not. So, yeah, just kidding. But speaking of good, here she is.
Well, it's
Well, you know what? Good's not the right word either. Great.
I'm a good girl. Hey, it's currently, I'm looking over there, it's currently 55 degrees, and tonight it's going to be high today is 73. I wanted to, are you finished with
You know what, I can make hand signals to Bob to turn up light, that's all I'm doing.
It freaks me out, because I think there's a fire outside or something, there's a drill.
The drill is turn up my headphones. While you're talking.
Okay, there's a winter weather is to return to Northern California this weekend. So if you're tuning in and you're thinking about your summer shirts and shorts, it is going to get cold this weekend. So there's a low cold pressure system developing over the Gulf of Alaska, and it's going to drop southward and affect Northern California this weekend. So get ready for that.
Snow could be down to 2,000 or 3,000 feet, so if you're planning some traveling, maybe pre-holiday traffic, bear that in mind. And always when you go into mountains, pack your stuff. Pack blankets and water. A lot of people head off into mountains and don't do that.
Words of great advice. Currently, the time is 7:07 in the morning. Tennessee Ernie Ford, this day in history, drove to the top spot on the record charts on this day in 1955 with 16 tons. Remember, 16 tons, where he owed his soul to the company store. Became the fastest-selling record in history, jumping to number one in just 3 weeks. The tune on Capitol Records stayed at number one for 8 weeks.
It's amazing how it's still affecting us.
And we know Ernie, bless his little pea-picking heart. Is known for other classics such as Mule Train, The Shotgun Boogie, The Cry of the Wild Goose. Sounds like your kind of guy, Carl.
You know, The Cry of the Wild
Goose
was pretty cool. But no, The Cry of the Wild
Goose. The Ballad of Davy Crockett.
Did he do The Ballad of Davy Crockett?
Yes, he did.
You know, a lot of people out there that you know, listen to the show, they understand that. But there's a lot of our younger audience that may have a little problem with that. But at one time back in the 50s and early 60s, Walt Disney had a show called The Ballad of Davy Crockett and Adventures on the Wild Frontier with Bess Parker, who later became most well-known for having a great vineyards right here in California down in Napa Valley. Just passed away not too long ago. What? Hey, you know what's going to happen here? It's either today or tomorrow. President Obama is going to give the Medal of Honor to an Iowa soldier for conspicuous gallantry during combat in Afghanistan. This is the first living recipient of the Medal of Honor since Vietnam. Others who have been awarded the highest honor for military courage or for courage have not been alive, all been posthumous. But on October 25, 2007, Army Staff Sergeant Salvatore Agunta was serving as a rifle team leader with Company B, 2nd Battalion, Airborne, 503rd Infantry Regiment, when his squad was ambushed. And he, through a remarkable and conspicuous gallantry, saved two people, attacked the enemy. He, too, was shot. The man that he risked his life for, unfortunately, did not survive his wounds. And as I said, he's the first living service member from the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq to receive the nation's highest award. And this is, you know, the young man says, the staff sergeant says, if I'm a hero, every man that stands around me, every woman in the military, everyone who goes into the unknown is a hero. It's So, I mean, what can you say? We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. There's a lot of things going on. Seems like the library, our library, our local library, has caused some ire in the community because the library is having little problems maybe with free speech. Join us after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, Reading. You're listening to KCNR, 1460.com. Taking your calls this morning, 605-4567. And send me an email, Linda, at KCNR1460. Or our chat room should be up. It was really funny because I have a Mac. So yesterday, I know Bob was getting some messages, and it didn't seem like it was coming through for me. So do try. We've got all kinds of special announcements of things that are going on this week. It is a crazy week. The weekend we have the Christmas Tree Fantasy that's on Saturday night, and on Friday we have I'm going to be out at Anselmo's. We really are excited about my favorite trio: Bruce Kalin, Dan Kinkle, Johnny Gonzalez, and we may have a very special guest joining us. We're working on that right now, so it'll be a wonderful night of jazz. And if you are crazy from the holidays just already, come on out and enjoy a wonderful place for ambiance. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We've been loving going there for the last year, and we're going to have a beautiful day today. Highs are going to be around 73 degrees. So, Carl.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things going on as the California Supreme Court got into it and said that illegal immigrants should be able to get in-state tuition. It seems like if you go to school here and you've got high school here for 3 years, that and graduate, that you can now go and pay in-state tuition. State college student about $11,000 a year, and each University of California student about $23,000 a year if it's in-state. One of the things I guess I don't understand is, if you're here illegally, why do you get the same benefits, the exact same benefits of people that live here legally? Why is that? If you want to use the system, why can't you pay for it as out-of-state tuition? You know, why is it that if you're here illegally, everything is fine? Well, you know, then why have laws? Why have any laws that impact on anybody, on people that are here illegally? Why not, you know... One of the problems that we're having in our state is a $20 billion deficit. How much of it is caused by illegals? People here illegally that use the schools, use the medical facilities, and now this. I mean, is there anything that will raise the ire of the California public besides Happy Meals? Is there anything that will take the people of California and just say enough? They've changed the vote now from the 2/3 for the budget, so make it a simple majority. So if you're a Republican and you're in the Assembly or the Senate, you might as well just send your vote in, take another job someplace, because you can't even get a bill out of committee. And now this. You know, I'd like to see some things change here. You know, what's going to happen? You know, I shouldn't say that, because the last time we looked at change, look what's happened. But what's going to happen in California now? What's going to happen with our state? And the fact is, okay, Jerry Brown, you've got a whole group of Democrats that have been, everybody was voted in, maybe not the Attorney General, I think they're still fighting about that. Everybody else was voted in. There were very few changes in the Assembly and the Senate, including one I read was a woman who had been dead for a month was elected. I'm sure somebody else was appointed for that, I would hope. So here it is. The Democrats now control the governorship, the lieutenant governorship, Gavin Newsom. They control the Assembly, the Senate. You know, all of my progressive friends out there, you know what? You ought to be deliriously happy right now. Deliriously happy, because now you can fix the problems of California. And you know what? Those pesky Republicans with that two-thirds, holding that two-thirds budget thing, that's gone too. The question is, what are the Democrats going to do? What are the Democrats going to do for our state to get us back on an even keel? What are the Democrats going to do to fix the deficit, to fix our education problems, to fix the problems with the health and the and pensions? What are you going to do? Well, you got your chance, starting in January. Let's see what you can do. Now, how many of us want to believe is that fees and taxes are going to go up? They're saying it won't, but then again, nobody's really said they're not. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see on that. You know, we're going to, let's go to the phones here. Hey, Jim, good morning. You're on line one.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just listening to you talking about when is California going to get fed up with, you know, especially the illegal alien problem. Well, I remember, what was it, 8-10 years ago, we did pass a proposition, the voters of California, to stop giving illegal aliens benefits. And what happens? An appellate court judge overturns it.
Yeah. And yeah. Nothing's changed since then. Now that, you know, they're back into it again. And I don't see any changes here in the future. The fact is that we like it here. You know, I like California. I really like the North State. But I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, you've got businesses. You know, some people say, oh, there's not that many businesses leaving town. Well, I think there are. And you know, unfortunately, everybody can grab a statistic that shows, oh, we're losing this many. I know that businesses that just here in Reading that have shut down. You know, maybe there's a few that's opened up. I know that they're, you know, we're trying to sell Stillwater out there. And I don't think, you know, you've got one company that's going to have a third of Stillwater, it looks like right now, for 200 jobs when it was supposed to be thousands of jobs up there. There's, you know, just, you know, what's going to happen to this state here in the next 2 years?
Yeah, especially with Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown running it.
Well, you know, Gavin is kind of in the, you know, lieutenant, I don't know, what's the lieutenant governor do? I mean, really, except for the fact that he's a tiebreaker?
Yeah. Hey, and real quick before I go, the other day you were talking about a commercial that really upset you with the child in the back seat.
Oh, yeah, the Toyota Highlander.
You know what, Carl, I swear that I was sitting here with my family, and when that kid said that, I thought the same thing. I thought, that kid needs to be spanked in the back pocket.
About
it was just, and so the other day, or it was last night, we seen another commercial. And it starts out, you know, with this lofty voice, in honor of great American presidents, the founder of our country. They, you know, George Washington and Abe Lincoln and Barack Obama, they had chia pets. A Barack Obama chia pet.
Well, you know what? He's finally made it.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, his head's so full of fertilizer, he's going to look like Grizzly Adams in 2 weeks.
Whoa, okay. As we say at the beginning of the show, the views of the callers are theirs and not necessarily those of the management and the owners of KCNR. But, hey, good comment.
All right,
we'll see you. Thank you. We've got to take a break.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. Good morning. I want to hear some more of that.
Did you dance the Macarena back when it was a thing?
I never did. I think I laughed so hard I couldn't even move, so I would let everybody else do it. It really is funny how that took storm across the world, though. Today it's going to be high of sunny, and it is currently 54 degrees. Carl's over there trying to dance it. I guess that means one hand touching the shoulder and the other one. Anyway, just for your information.
Oh, the shoulder.
Prince William is going to marry his girlfriend, Kate Middleton. You know that's going to be the talk of London. Going to be the talk of the world, actually, because he is going to be marrying his longtime girlfriend next year in Buckingham Palace. He is 28. Of course, he's the elder son and heir to the throne. Of Prince Charles and the late Princess Diana, and Kate Middleton is also 28, daughter of self-made entrepreneurs, and they became engaged while on holiday in Kenya last month. Stay tuned. You don't need even to stay tuned. It's going to be all over the map, as you know. We are taking your emails, by the way, December 20th, this Saturday, Christmas for the troops. We will be out there, 4:30 it begins, The A-Team will be cooking, and we're collecting things. People have been so generous, but we are still collecting, and we want to do it sooner than later because the boxes, we need to have things in place for Saturday night for the boxes. So if you have things to donate, like jerky and socks and like baby wipes and things like that.
Foot powder.
Right. What else, Carl?
Oh, there's foot powder. There's, you know, chapstick, all those things that you need in a smaller quantity so that, packaging so they can take it around with them.
All right, so we're still taking
Notebooks, pens, pencils, those things.
Still taking donations for those things for Christmas for the troops, which occurs this Saturday.
You know, one of the things we need to talk about, we're going to, since we have guests the rest of today, is going to be, as the city council has their meeting tonight, they're going to be talking about two things. They're going to be talking about the fire station number 2 at Placer that could be shutting down, and also, the raising of the rates for REU, and the council signs off on the next set of 7.84% increases. Rates will have risen more than 35% over 5 years. Now, we can talk over and over again. We're going to try and get Paul Hooser on here again. He was here a couple of weeks ago from REU, and essentially is we're keeping, these rates are just going to keep going up. I'm not sure how you're going to reduce the rates in the viewpoint that we're having to go to renewable energy sources. That's costing. You know, we've gotten into some long-term contracts. You know, for a while, our prices were down, and even now, and you'll get an argument, but there's that REU's rates are lower than PG&E's, depending on where you're at and who you are.
I'm sure a lot of people right now. I mean, here we're the holiday season, and we just really want to enjoy our gatherings. But I think in the back of many people's minds you turn on the news and they're talking about the Bush at the end of this year. The Bush tax cuts are going to change. So what's going to be happening in 2011? That is the big question. How much are the rates going up? How much are the taxes going to change?
You know, the thing is that Obama has signaled that, hey, I'm going to, he may extend the tax cuts for the middle class. Of course, if you make $250,000 a year or more, you're considered wealthy. And I'm not sure if that's true. I mean, yes, $250,000 is a good chunk. I'd like to have it. But, if depending on where you are in this world, that two people working really hard can get up to that. You know, there was thoughts about why not just extend it all for 2 or 3 years till we can see what happens with the economy. Tax, doing away with tax cuts in January, I can't see how that's going to help the economy. When you look at the amount of money that it means, the difference, there's billions in it, but that, how is that going to hurt? I mean, how is that going to help us in the long run? Or is that going to hurt us in the long run? We need, though, to have something done. Something has to be done before the end of this year. And we got to take a break here. It's Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:33 in the morning, November 16th. This portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Right off Airport Road, 244-1988. Doug Tooley and his people put in Dish Satellite. They do it quick. They do it professional. They guarantee their work. You can't ask for more than that. Our guest today coming in are a bunch of... Bruce.
Good morning, Carl.
Hey, I'm sorry to keep you waiting like this for an hour and a half.
No problem. I was just thinking that now that our young legislatures and some of the older ones, the Republican Party, are going to take an oath, no more pork funds coming home. I just got to looking around, and you kind of look around on the stimulus funds that they've spent, that none of them make sense, from turtles crossing the highways to Bridge to Nowhere, but I finally found one that made sense.
Okay.
And they were granted $12 million. UCLA was got it, and it was it's a research team. They went to Africa to show African men that haven't been circumcised how to wash their genitals after sex. They've spent $823,200 so far, but it runs out to 11. But I got to thinking, it depends on what kind of team UCLA shipped to Africa. Probably the stimulus part of that actually worked.
Well, I think that I don't know what to say, Bruce, except I know I'd heard about that was one of the things that had happened. Anyway, hey, thanks for your phone call. Hey, our our guest. We get, you know, when you look through all these
things. We need a different kind of segue.
Yeah, different segue than that. You know, when you look through all these government programs, things happen that are just really strange. And, you know, and the money that's given out. And you're right, things from why do turtles cross roads and to all these other things and studies that, why do they spend $1 million on that? And so, or $2 million or $10 million. But now, in our studio.
Let's talk about something that makes us happy and something that we can choose to do, and that is theater. We can choose to take our family and enjoy this festive season of the holidays. And so in the studio with us today, and we love this place, Riverfront Playhouse, is part of the cast and the production team of the only Christmas pageant in town that begins November 27th. Or this is actually for November 27th, but it actually begins November 20th and goes to December 18th. We'd like to thank the people in our studio, Mac Davis.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program. Brad Brunson, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
And Heather Wilson.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program. You are the director, Mac.
Yes, I am.
And Brad, you play Mr. G's.
Yes, I do.
And Heather, you play Tabitha.
Yeah.
So tell us what we're going to see when we come to this play.
I have to clarify, first of all, I'm a co-director. Ben Van Sickle is my co-director and has done the majority of the work for this production. I want to give him credit. Thank you for having us here this morning. We appreciate it very much. This show is about a woman who has lost the true meaning of Christmas. Each year she puts on a Christmas pageant, and unfortunately she just thinks it's about the glamour and the glitz, and she hires a Hollywood troupe to come in and do this professionally. Unfortunately, they get snowed out, and they can't come, so she has to pull together the community in this little church and put together the pageant that she's always done and has been appreciated by all the community.
And she just didn't realize this.
Correct.
And so how many people are in your production this time, Matt?
I believe we're at 36.
Whoa.
You know, it's funny, you know how sometimes when you start to say things wrong, and they start coming out of your mouth that, and this doesn't stop. Is, well, Mac came in today, and Mac's a distinguished-looking gentleman, you know. And I said, and I thought, well, maybe we have somebody else scheduled on a business coming in. No, I'm with Riverfront. And I said, well, you know, I'm just kind of used to, you know, people coming in if they're, you know, dressed differently and all that. You know, of course, they're probably the directors, not the leading men. He says, well, I am the director, co-director. So after I'd stepped all over my tongue that way. You know, one of the things that we really enjoy is local theater here. So you've got 36 people involved in this. I mean, is that on stage, or is that just with everybody?
That's actors. We actually have a production team of about five or six other people, and we have some green room helpers, moms, and et cetera, and backstage help. So we have a big crew.
Well, when we've attended the plays before at Riverfront, it's really always a very family-friendly environment. We don't have to push any delay buttons there. Let's talk about Mr. G's. Let's go down and talk a little bit to Brunson about about your character, a little bit about who you are and your character. And is this your first play?
Yes, it is. I am Mr. G's, who is a janitor who loves to run the vacuum and loves to shovel up sheep and camel poop.
Oh.
That's an interesting role.
Yeah.
So, how did you get into this?
A friend of mine dragged me into it, and I was actually struggling at first, but I've caught on to it a lot better. So.
And Heather, how long have you been acting?
I have been acting for 3 years now, and I've gotten with theater, and I've been in a lot of productions, so it's pretty cool.
So what school do you go to?
I go to Reading School of the Arts.
Okay. And you, Brent?
I don't go to school.
Okay. So you're out of school now.
Yeah.
So you're just an actor.
Yep.
Hey, Mac, the production of it, and it's, you know, a woman who thinks that Christmas needs lots of money and glitz. And it turns out that that's not the secret at all.
Actually, Brad has one of the best lines. He tells Olive, who is the coordinator of the pageant, that he knows exactly what's wrong, and that is that they put Christ out in the snow again this year. They leave Christ out of Christmas. And the pageant is about, it has a true nativity scene, And we bring our people together to show that this is about the birth of Jesus. And you're correct. It's a family-oriented play. I've only directed Christmas shows at Riverfront over the years. And I love bringing the kids together this time of year and putting out this kind of message to the community.
We're talking about the show, The Only Christmas Pageant in Town, at Riverfront Playhouse. That is November 20th. Oh, my gosh, that's just around the corner, through December 18th. And the first caller to call 605-4567. We've got a pair of tickets that you can go free on Saturday night, right after Thanksgiving, that weekend. If you need a four, we can probably bust out four for you so you could take the family. That's The Only Christmas Pageant in Town at Riverfront Playhouse. Taking your calls here at 605-4567. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Thank you for the cast. Thanks, guys, for being here. We're going to take a break.
Christmas music already, Bob. You little devil, you. You little sprite, you. Carl Lindebot, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in emporium, and the greatest coffee and espresso Joes you're ever going to have. The girls fix it the way you want it. Big meeting room there. And this week we are not, I repeat, we are not going to have a town hall meeting this Friday. We're going to probably hold that until December starts and start all over again with all, you know, the holidays come rolling through here. But our guests today are from the Riverfront Playhouse, and it's The Only Christmas Pageant in Town. Mac Davis, the co-director, Brad Brunson plays Mr. G's, and Heather Wilson plays Tabitha. Who's Tabitha?
Tabitha is a teenager girl who's part of a group of, you know, groupies, and they don't really know what Christmas is all about. They think it's all about gifts, and they do a really cool number of the 12 Days of Christmas, and it's pretty funny, so it's pretty fun.
We also want to thank Janie. Tell Janie a shout-out to you that you've won the four tickets to the play called The Only Christmas Pageant in Town, which is at the Riverfront Playhouse. Opening night. Tell us about opening night, and we'll shoot that over to you, Brad. Opening night is... when is opening night?
November 20th.
That's right, November 20th, and the you know, usually sold out, aren't you, Mac?
Yes, we do sell out almost every performance these days, and especially the Christmas shows, so we want to urge people to get their tickets early, and they can do that down at Graphic Emporium.
Okay, Graphic Emporium, and how much are the tickets?
Opening and closing nights are $20, because there's a champagne buffet, and the regular tickets are $15.
Okay, and you say it's usually sold out.
Yes.
And so The Only Christmas Pageant in Town, that's you know what, that's cool. So everybody excited about this? Brad, excited? Your first big play?
Oh, yeah.
And then Tabitha, you've done this so much. This is just something I do all the time, right?
Well, I haven't been involved with Riverfront, and I'm really excited, so it's pretty fun.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great pageant. And Mac,
institution.
Yeah, you know, it's something that's been going on every year. And how long has it been going on?
Oh, we're about 30 years. I think it started in 81 or so. I came on board in 87, which is a long time ago. And like Brad, I was drug on stage. My sister was there and said, we need men to play this part. So we draft a lot of people, and when you have a cast of 36, you naturally look out to see whose mother's in the audience that might be able to do a little walk-on part.
Now, is it a different Christmas pageant every year, or is this the same one?
No, we do a different show every year.
Okay. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes you have the traditional pageant that's played every year, like the Nutcracker, you know, that people go and see every year. So this is great. And, you know, we really appreciate y'all coming in today, and we'll give away a few more tickets this week because your opening night's this Saturday.
It is. In fact, when we leave here, I got to go down to the theater and finish up some final touches on the set and get ready for opening night.
That's great. Okay, hey, thank you so much. This is the cast, or part of the cast. There's 36 of them.
And break a leg, you guys.
Thank you.
You know, Mac Davis, who is the co-director, Brad Brunson, who plays Mr. G's, and Heather Wilson, who plays Tabitha. All in The Only Christmas Pageant in Town. Cool. That's starts this Saturday. Okay, thank you very much. And we're going to take a quick break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media, 750. November 16th, you know, over at the, you know, like I said, big city council meeting tonight. They're going to be talking about closure of fire station number 2 on Placer, and we're going to be talking about the raising of REU rates. So it might be interesting to go on down there and see what's happening. And, you know, a couple other things that have been interesting today is it seems like the public library is raised the, has got everybody's attention again. It seems, and I should say again, I don't know how many times it has the attention. It's a, we've been there for fundraising for the library, but now this is about guidelines set up to for people that want to set up outside the library, I assume, and hand out things. And you know, the funny thing is that in the it's of course it immediately in the paper goes into those Tea Party people and those liberal, you know, whatever, left-wing nuts things. And but it's not. You know, it's not. That's not what it's about. The part is that the library says that if you're going to come on their property, we're going to have rules. Well, there's Tim Pappas, who is a constitutional lawyer, says, wait a minute, that's kind of restricting free speech. And the one thing I was glad to see that, you know, even though there was, you know, some people that just think, well, free speech is great as long as you don't, you know, offend me. Well, unfortunately, as many people realize, is that free speech can offend you and at times must offend you. Because if you don't have that freedom of speech, then, you know, anything, you know, because right now you write something and you think it's really cool, you know, how would you like to have the government come down or a self-imposed little, censor that says, no, I'm sorry, you can't say that. Well, the guidelines set up by the library board, and I think they're meeting on these, set up restrictions on a person-by-person basis on how many people can be outside. The library's director must first approve the display outside the library. The guideline allows for 6 chairs and 30 square feet of tabletop. Bulk materials and unattended literature are prohibited. Groups are allowed to congregate only during regular library hours, and no materials may be left on a car windshield. Now, who wants to find stuff on your windshield? How many times have you found stuff on your windshield, right? Bob's shaking his head. Unfortunately, I think that Bob, is part of that First Amendment right of free speech.
It's free speech for somebody to sell me credit insurance.
Yes. Well, you know what? It's unfortunately, that's it. Okay, let me see. Materials may not contain any statements that imply endorsement by the library. I think that one's okay, because you can't say that the library endorses whatever you're putting out there. And the gatherings aren't allowed to interfere with library business, make too much noise, violate fire codes. Okay. You know, when you start restricting freedom,
what about, restricting freedom is something that we here at Free Fire Radio oppose.
Yeah, here my only restriction of speech is I'm choking to death right here. Anyway, Pappas says the only guideline that doesn't raise constitutional concerns is the one about literature showing library endorsement. You know, here's my question. Is this a First Amendment problem? Shouldn't people, if they come out there and they set up their tabletops, and this whole thing was about people handing out the literature on the Constitution. It wasn't about cage fighting. It wasn't about child porn. It wasn't anything like that. It was about the Constitution. And what they what maybe some people didn't realize is that the Democratic Party had come out there to put up their tables to, you know, so they could register people. I mean, the library, of all places, to start trying to restrict the freedom of speech is kind of strange. Why can't groups set up on city property, not harass people, and hand out literature about almost anything? It seems to me is that they can't. Why are so many of, in this case, what I was reading was, it's probably the same 4 or 5 that write, but they're really upset, outraged by those Tea Party people handing out things. Well, you know what? I just don't think they should hand out anything. Well, you know what? I find some of the things you write offensive, but I also think that you have the right to be offensive because guess what? Freedom of speech. One of the great, great parts of that Constitution.
Sir, having served our country in a place where people who spoke their minds routinely lost body parts as a matter of law, you have a better appreciation for that than most, I would
think.
You know,
anybody that's been out there, I mean, you know, you can go to any country that's got a dictatorship, and, you know, if you were in Iraq in the old days, if you were found with certain kinds of cell phones, that was a death sentence, and nobody had satellite dishes. Because the government controlled the TV. They controlled the phones. They controlled all that. Now, you know, if people want to come out and set up a table, and they are not harassing people going into the library, it's just there, and if, you know, people want to talk to them, why can't they do it? You know, what's wrong with that? Why, you know, especially since I had, you know, I mean, what type of material is available inside the library? Should there things inside the library be censored? Is everything available in the library for anybody that goes in there? For adults? Do adults have special rooms in the library? I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any, but that doesn't mean that they don't. So, can adults get access to adult literature in our library? Would you say that that's, you know, do you agree with that? Well, you know.
I'm still lost in the whole cell phone thing. I mean, you think that you could have a part of your body chopped off because you had a cell phone is just, wrapping my head around the idea of that.
Well, the cell phone thing is the fact is, that gives you access to the outside world. So if you had certain kinds of cell phones, you know, satellite phones, that could be dangerous to the government that wants to control everything you think and hear. The internet, everything you think and hear. You know, why do you think the Chinese government has censored their, you know, censored their internet, you know, and you know, I think it was Google that gave up, let them put blocks on things and let them identify people. So here's the bottom line is that a free government and a free society will have freedom of speech. You may not like to hear it, but guess what? That's part of it. Freedom of religion. You have the freedom to pray and to go into, you know, the religious organization that you want. Great freedoms here. And so to hear people go, you can't do that because you're in the Tea Party. You know what? You have no concept of what freedom and liberty is, a person that would say that. You have no concept of it. And, you know, and then it gets back into liberals, conservatives. Liberals, conservatives. It's not. It's about freedom. It's about individual freedom. You know, in the next hour, our guest, Reverge Anselmo, is going to be talking about that. He's going to be talking about a way that ranchers and farmers now have a way to help them stand up to government agencies that may overstep their bounds when it comes to water rights and environmental concerns that they before couldn't do because you don't have the money to stand up and fight the government who has your money to use against you. I don't know. You know, it gets back to freedom, individual rights. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the next hour with our next guest. This is Carl Lindebott, stretching out this last.
I jumped the gun. I apologize.
Oh, did you? We're not leaving right now. Then
it is now 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
I laid down the card too soon.
You laid down the card. You see, I follow these directions really.
I just want to say that to close this segment before 8 o'clock. Great news. Remember, Honey Bandit is doing very well. So, thanks.
The wild foal.
I think there was a lot of wonderful positive energy that went out to try to save this colt. We got to take a break. Well, coming right back, we'll be here with Reverge. This is Carl and Linda Bott. You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
The staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 805, November 16th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com, and you can chat with us on that. Bob's chat computer is up. Most of the chat computers are up. Some are still having problems that we're trying to work with. But those are more like an individual as opposed to large amounts. Good morning.
Good morning again. It's 8:05 in the morning, 8:05 as we would say. Today the highs will be about 73 degrees, and it's currently 54. We always love to say that the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. And lo and behold, we are very honored to introduce to you this morning regarding another subject matter in the house with us this morning is Rivera Gensamo. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back here. You're probably sick of me by now, but I
never.
Like coming.
We've had you on a few times, and it's always been interesting, that's for sure. We're talking about today, though. There was an article in the paper, and we've been, and it's an interesting point that you've gotten involved in a service, I guess. It's called the Agricultural Regulatory Services, or TARS. And could you give just a brief synopsis of what that does?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I'm excited about TARS. I like it very much. It's a lot of fun to be on, you know, the TARS side of the line. But TARS is something that I called up a fellow Marine about when I was having to defend myself and my ranch from an attack by five agencies, federal, state, and local, all accusing me of having abused or violated environmental laws. Now, this was a tough fight. I mean, it takes you a long time to get out of, jeopardy of that kind. If you fight off one agency, the other one is right behind them. They were literally having vans and Suburbans full of people from the government come and do scuba diving, biology field trips, looking for ways to accuse me on my ranch.
Now, this has to do with you setting up the ranch with...
I was doing was renovating a pasture.
Renovating the pasture. It was pasture. It wasn't like cattle mountains and
nope.
streams or anything. It was renovating a pasture that was filled with blackberry and all these other things.
Star thistle, mullein.
Right.
They're very productive and lush pastures now, which is what they always used to be. It had been an old dairy farm, the one in question. Anyway, it enraged me, but then it got very fun because I, you know, did all those researches at 3 in the morning on findlaw.com, and you can't sleep, and you know, your kidney's shutting down on you, and you're under major stress, and you've got teams of attorneys. Well, I find out that federal law protects the activities of agriculture. Most of the ordinary and customary practices of agriculture are listed and protected from environmental regulation. Now, I wasn't breaking any law. I certainly didn't need any grading permit to plow a field and to sow it with seed, and I know this, but anyway, I called some, you know, friend of ours from the Marine Corps who had gone into insurance. And in a sophisticated way, and I said, could a fella have, you know, an insurance policy that was his legal defense against being wrongly accused and facing abusive powers? And he said, yeah, sure he can. Tort insurance.
Okay, now, we've got to take a break here. Let's hold it right there. Is that after doing a lot of research, you talked to somebody that was in the insurance fund, and said, you know what? Can I be protected? Can we be protected from this just happening to us? You know, the government's got deep pockets. Almost all of us don't. So
that's
is there a way that we can have insurance about that? And he says, yes. Okay, that's we're going to break right there and then come back and get back into the discussion. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Welcome back.
You go first.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's 8:12 in the morning.
If you're just tuning in, yes, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460 AM on your dial. Currently 54 degrees. The weather today is going to be high of 73. Gorgeous day. Partly cloudy tonight. The weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Get ready for the rest of the week, though. It's going to be really cold this weekend. We're talking about snow down to, 2,000 feet, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Our guest, R.C. Anselmo from Seven Hills, a land and cattle company, but he's here to talk about the Agricultural Regulatory Services, TARS, which essentially is insurance policy to help farmers and ranchers.
Right. All we do is extrapolate what I had to do to break the government free, to get its claws out of my back. And that took quite a bit. It takes quite a bit of money, lots of attorneys, field engineers. You have to show them the door, why they need to leave your ranch. A lot of people can't do that of their own means, so this is a way that provides it. And we actually provide up to $250,000 of funds, and the attorneys, the field engineers, armed guards if necessary. It's the service. If the people walk into the same problem I have, so I just turned what we did, built an organization around that, and now we do that for them as a service. So they carry a wallet card, they whip out the card, and they say, my insurance won't let me talk to you directly, call them, find my attorney through them, and you come back with a warrant, now get out.
Now, the federal agencies and the state agencies all left, and there was no repercussions at all because they found that there was nothing there. But that was
we had to prove it to them,
right? Yeah. And so, but like you said, that takes money where they have unlimited pockets to sit there and dwell on your property, and most people, almost all people, can't afford to stand up to this.
Right, but there's a chink in their armor, and I'll tell you what it is. They are bureaucrats, and they don't like to be embarrassed. Now, once they start doing things that could cause embarrassment, you find them on that. These fights do take quite a while. So once they know that they look bad, and they are under a little bit of stink, their careers are either on hold or in the toilet for a while until they're done with you.
So and you do that through your own experts that can face theirs and just say, wait a minute, this is not right. You are wrong on these things. And if they're challenged and they can't stand up to it. So now, we say farmers and ranchers. Now, what is the eligibility to be a part of TARS here?
Well, it has to be an agricultural entity because you're in agricultural operations. Then we can protect those agricultural operations with the protections that are there in state and federal law, like the Clean Water Act 1985, which is federal, the California Right to Farm Act. These things are very protective of the landowner and the ranch and farm activities. They get ignored because, you know, the radical left and the environmental agenda, the worst of them, they always use the government, the apparatus of government, as a way to attack the people that are producing food and managing the land. That's their MO.
There's different, of course, there's going to be different rates for people, if I remember reading this correctly. One, if you have salmon on your property going through the waterways in your property, can that be protected too?
Sure.
From people doing things to take either the water or to make you use your land differently for the salmon?
Well, the saying in the insurance business, which I had to learn a lot about in a hurry, they always have an expression for consideration of additional premium. Water rights is a tough one to get into. I've been in lots of water fights. TARS is not designed to back up or defend your water rights. If you have defensible water rights, and we'll look at that, it's going to cost more money because those fights are sometimes even generational. They're just a bigger scope. But let me be clear. TARS is a fighter. We are looking for fights. We're not trying to avoid any fights. We're actually trying to find somebody who's in a good one that we can get into and trade some good body blows with the government.
You want to help people that are being taken, advantage of because of a money problem as opposed to being right.
They ticked off the wrong cat.
No, I don't know. But the government, I mean, I fought for it. It is a child of ours. That child is misbehaving in lots of instances.
Okay. Our guest, Virgil Anselmo, and we're talking about the Agricultural Regulatory Services, TARS. It's an insurance policy that farmers and people in agricultural concerns and ranchers can buy a policy. So what this does is up to $250,000 worth of help, experts, lawyers, When the government comes in and says, we don't believe you're using your land the way we want you to, and yet they may be wrong, so now you have somebody on your side when it's insurance to face them and to have your experts talk to their experts and to have you kind of stay out of this fight and takes pressure off people. And this is throughout the United States. This isn't just one spot here.
Right.
This isn't Northern California or California. This is a nationwide insurance policy.
Well, we only offer, we're only licensed right now in California, okay, which is certainly the richest pool of victims.
Okay. Are you planning on spreading this or offering this to other places too?
Yeah, I think we will, and probably quickly. There's other environments such as, I went and visited the governor of New Mexico about TARS. He likes TARS. He thinks what's happening in California ridiculous, and he's a Democrat, Bill Richardson. New Mexico would be a good place for this, Arizona, Idaho. People that don't even have the amount of problems that we have here, they feel any of this, and they want to fight it immediately, right now. California is a little bit, you know, like a little, let's search for the spine here.
Okay, hey, we got to take a break. Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebach, good morning. It is 8:23 in the morning. It's November 16th, 605-4567. And we're streaming on KCNR 1460 and chatting on there. Our guest, Reverge and Selmo from the Seven Hills Land and Cattle Company. But this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Agricultural Regulatory Services, TARS. And what this is if you're just coming aboard, is... It's an insurance policy here that's offered right now in California, and we're looking at maybe it's going bigger, is for those farmers and ranchers who have been who have concerns with the government. The government has come in and said, you're doing these things wrong, and here's our experts that say it. So they have nothing really they can do about it except try to fight it on their own. But now things have changed. You have TARS, this insurance policy. Now, RC, let's go into it like, okay, I'm a rancher. I'm here up in here in Northern California. I have water running through my property. I have acreage there, a grazing land for my cattle. I wanted to do some things there, you know, so I want to replant some of this. The Department of Agriculture or whatever the agency is comes in and says, oh, no, wait a minute. You have water running through here. You've got to do these things first. It's going to cost me thousands of dollars. And by the way, we're going to fine you for this if you don't do it exactly the way we say or cease and desist. At that point, I pull out my card, and what happens?
All right. What you described is not, USDA is going to be good to you. But the most likely thing that will happen, you'll convert a pasture from one use to another, maybe put different crops in it, and somebody will accuse you of either contributing silt to a running water stream or destroying wetlands. Now, all of that is hooey. All land that has been cropped, grazed, or cultivated prior to 1985 is exempt from environmental regulation. If you see some sedge grass in there, take it out. It's a pasture. It's for food production. Anyway, say they come. You carry a TARS card. If you're a policy member of ours, you just whip out your card and say, I cannot talk to you. You contact them and my attorneys through them, and you must leave my ranch now. So then we will send a response team, either by helicopter, if it's too far away. We'll get there right away in a car. We're usually there within 36 hours, and we treat it like a crime scene. What crimes did they think they see? We want to make sure that our policyholder is in compliance. Now, all of our customers are most likely to be the most responsible landowners, successful, tidy. And we give them the book of best management practices, which is written by the government agencies themselves. We give it to them so they can follow it. Plus, we give them 2 hours free phone consultation with our field engineers and our people who know about how to go about crop conversion or any activity you're going to do. TARS customer, when they have that gate plaque on their ranch, the government ought to realize this guy is not only responsible, he's fully informed. And his policy assures that if we're in a fight with him, that policy is not going to cover a crime.
Okay. So they call you right away. Your people will be out there in 36 hours.
That's right.
And to see what's going on. Okay.
Then we will write a warning letter to the government. This happened, for instance, down with a recent case down near Stockton. We found that the Army Corps of Engineers, which posse comitatus should tell you, the U.S. Army has no business on private property. Anyway, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers accused them of having destroyed a fairy shrimp pool. We investigated and found out they weren't even talking about the same property owned by the man they addressed the letter to. We told them, back off, go away, and if you persist, we're going to sue you immediately.
Okay, now this is from our chat room from Angel. They may have answered a question. It says, what fights are they taking on locally in the county or in the state? Now, you just talked about one down in Sacramento area.
Well, first, get up TARS policy and see if you get into a fight. I'm pretty sure that they're going to try to avoid fighting with TARS policy holders. I don't care if they do or if they want to test our mettle. If you have a great case right now that is interesting to us, we might take it on just because we're looking for juicy stuff that ruins some careers out there in the environmental regulatory field.
The effect that this has had on, obviously when you were fighting it, you fought it for, how many years were you fighting
almost one full year, 6 hours a day, with three attorneys.
And they've all pulled back, they've all backed off. And I know that there is a lawsuit. We can't talk about that, but a lawsuit with the county right now.
Right.
Okay. This also, you know, we've had other people on here talking to about, and we've only got like 2 minutes left here, so we'll probably go into the next segment, but water rights with the government going in and like up in Siskiyou County and wanting people to start paying extra money for the use of their own water.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive to that. I'm kind of read into that case up in Siskiyou. I've actually made an offer to that group. If they will pool up, we'll jump in and see what we can do for them. It's not exactly a TARS policy, but our people are available to get involved in that fight. But the people are not efficient at grouping up and breaking out their checkbooks to have us do it for them. We're not free. We're not a charity, people. This is, you know, your own property's on the line here, and we've done a lot to create the mechanism of defense.
Got like about a minute. Another question was, once they got on your property, did they start looking for other things? Or was it just like, okay,
oh,
we're coming
yes.
to here specifically,
oh, yeah,
but now it's kind of like, oh, let's just start looking.
Oh, absolutely. They're on a fishing expedition, and that's why our TARS policy holders, we give them the card. We want them to whip that out and ask them to leave. Because they, you make them come back with a warrant. That's the first thing we plead with our people to do. Do not play nice. They are not there with any sensitivity to your livelihood.
Yeah, they're not there to. We're the government. We're here to help you. How many times have we heard that?
I let them in. I swear to God, they brought trucks full of people, biologists. They scuba dived in my creek.
Up there on in a creek. No. What were they looking for? Or just, you know, just to
I
see
think
if
those,
that was little fish?
Little things that, you know, fish eat to see if, I don't know.
Okay, we've got to take our break. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is RC on Summer. We're talking about the Agricultural Regulatory Services.
TARS.
How to help you take on the government. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:35 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. DC Tim and their partner, the Man in Black, give great haircuts. They give discounts to veterans. They are man's last stronghold. Great conversation. And, yeah, it is man's last stronghold. You won't find an Oprah, Dr. Phil on that TV set. Give them a try. Like I said, great haircuts, great prices. And, again, if you're a veteran, you get a discount. That Cypress Square Barbershop where I go to, and a lot of other people in the town go there too. It's an enjoyable experience.
It is 8:35 in the morning, and this is Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Currently 57 degrees with a high today of a 75. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day. And, well, we've been really talking about some fire stuff, some fiery stuff here.
Well, you know what? Here's what's going on is whether you are a progressive or a conservative or just a middle-of-the-road type, you know, it's your individual freedoms, and it's the freedoms for you to conduct your business, own your land, own private property. One of those, you know, to do what you want to do, if you're not harming other people, if you're not harming, your neighbor and all that, just something as simple as riding your motorcycle. In the state of California, you got to wear a helmet. There's other states that said, hey, look, you're an adult, if you don't want to wear a helmet, that's fine. Well, now the National Regulatory Commission or something out of the government has just said that all states...
NSTA, National Transportation Safety Administration, yeah.
Just said that now they want all the states to pass laws so everybody has to wear a helmet?
Yeah, and this is a repeat of what they did back in the mid-'80s, where they're holding back highway funds if the states don't comply.
Well, you know, here's the thing, is what R.C. Anselmo and the Agricultural Regulatory Services here is, TARS is an insurance policy, and this is kind of almost sad to say. You need, you know, an insurance policy so that you can stand up to the government who's using your money and your neighbor's money to come in and make your life difficult and to make it even impossible over things that may not even be of concern, but you don't have the wherewithal to fight it.
That's right. I have an appointment set up in Washington in January. One of my lead-ins with the lawmakers is I have this company called TARS. I want you to put it out of business. I don't want this company to need to exist at the moment it does. Let me help you understand how you can put this insurance out of business. Because Americans should not have to hire Anselmo, helicopters, attorneys, field engineers in order to sow and plant seed in their ground.
Well, that's it. And it's, you know, the fact is that why? Just the thought, you know, just the thought of having to have an insurance company to protect you is one thing. But now it just makes sense, because how many times have we seen articles in the paper and read about them and had them sent to us, and you see them on TV where, you know, the government's come in and they've taken something.
Right.
And the only reason it's happened is because the people can't fight it.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How much has this changed, or if you will, gotten more intense through the years? And the reason I bring this up is because back in the 60s, my parents bought 5 acres, and my mom, they did the whole thing from the ground. There was nothing. And we had hundreds of acres around us, so we had to put in the well, put in the French drain, build a house from scratch. And I don't remember or recall my mother and father back in the, it would have been the 60s, having to deal with such government problems and coming out saying your French drain isn't like 1 inch off or 2 inches off or that kind of thing. So progressively through the years, what kind of information have you been receiving, Reverge, regarding how it's gotten so intensified?
I don't know. I never heard of anything even remotely like this in any other part of the country until I got here. To me, it's just it's a freak show. How it got here, I can't tell you. And how I wound up here and met this attitude of government and this almost reckless codification of everything that is potentially a violation, whether or not it's constitutional, I don't know. I don't know how the landscape of California got to be framed in insanity. But I'm personally not having any of it. I love my TARS policy. I mean, I had to create the company to buy one. I'm the first policyholder. I love it. Now, I just want them to come. Make my day.
Well, you know, the thing is, again, it's if people believe that they're in the right, then they should have a way to be able to stand up and combat things.
They should. And they need logistics. They need a war chest.
Yeah, and it's not just this. How many other things are there in our lives that, you know, I don't know how many times that I've had our politicians here in town. I know you don't like to hear that term, but, you know, that's what you are when you're in office. For both the county and the city say, we've got to do things about these codes. We've got to revamp these codes. We've got to make changes in them. Okay, the elections are over. And I will remind everybody that said that what they said, because some of these codes, you know, people are frightened of our government, even at the county and city level. They won't even say anything because they're afraid that it's going to come back at them, and it's going to, they're going to lose their, they're going to lose a permit or their ability to do business next year, or to have some kind of not-for-profit fundraiser, because if they say anything, I mean, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, do you want an example of something like that that is ridiculous, just retarded, or do you want to move on to something else?
Well, we have to take a break, and as soon as we come back, we can talk about this. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
North State, welcome back to KCNR 1460. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here, 8:44 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Looking for that special Christmas present? You know, they've got one of the most beautiful walk-in humidors in the North State. And you don't want to forget and miss out on Espresso Joe's. They've got all kinds of fabulous Christmas brews, special coffee beans, and all kinds of French press coffee espresso machines. Go in there and hang out. Find something, I'm sure, for some kind of hostess gift or special Christmas package. Our guest this morning.
You know, we're talking to RCN Somo. We're talking about the ATARS, the Agricultural Regulatory Services. And essentially, it's an insurance policy against the government. And do you know of any other insurance policies like this?
This is why Lloyd's was very interested. They didn't hesitate. They saw that the time had come for something like this.
Lloyd's of London?
Lloyd's of London is one of the backers of this, yeah. There was no problem. Every insurance guy in the world said, I like that. Yeah, I understand the need. And no, nobody's actually defended the people from accusations by the government.
So can we do a simple breakdown and tell us one more time, if people are just getting in their car and tuning in, TARS.
TARS.
Card-carrying TARS membership. What is it?
You have $250,000 worth of war-making funds. If you're accused by the government of our environmental violations, we sail in there, take you out of the conversation, and we fight the government on your behalf up to $250,000, and for as long as it takes. Because the good news for the people who work for the environmental regulatory world, a fight with TARS can take years. It's not,
you know,
time is on our side now.
I wish you could see our guest face, because he's like, you know, enough, you know what, people have had enough, and now they've got a way to say when somebody walks on your property that, you know, and they accuse you of this, first of all, you're in shock half the time, and you don't know what to do. We just want to come on and take a look. Well, you know what, I thought before probably should let them, but then, no. I'm not going to just let you come on my property and do a fishing expedition here, you know. So, now,
that's right.
How do people, is there a website?
Yeah, the website is www.protectedbytars.com.
Protectedbytars.com. And I want to talk about, it sounds like, I mean, if you just get like this whiff of anti-government. I mean, we know that the government there's good in all institutions, and there's some good things with the government, of course. They protect us in some ways. But this is something that where people will come in that work for agencies that
become retarded.
They become out of control. With their power, with the power force. And so in our chat room this morning, one of our chatters had said that while they were finishing their home, that one of the
organizations
came in and said, you cannot get your final permit until you plant pear trees in the granite over there. Now, does that make sense to you?
No, and it doesn't, and it didn't make sense to them. But they had to hire somebody to come out and say it doesn't grow in granite, and then they got their permit.
I'd send that bill to the agency who obliged you to spend that bill. That's what I would do. And I'd also go to Washington in January and make a list of agencies like that and take the 25 members of Congress who support TARS and say, fellas, here's a good list for you to defund.
Well, you know, see, the thing about it is that, you know, one of the things you're talking about, Linda, and I strongly agree, is that there's part, you know, the government is not a bad total entity. You know, it's not. But what we have in that is people that are petty bureaucrats that have a tendency to overstep their boundaries. They, you know, and it's, you know, somebody's always said to me, well, you know, do you ever think there's going to be a revolution? And I said, the government, as far as I'm concerned, is kind of a you know, an entity that it's clumsy and all that. What I always feared was that somebody at such a low level makes a decision and it causes a problem that just grows and grows and grows and grows. And as long as people believe those, they still have a voice. That's not going to happen. Now we have I don't have any agricultural land, so there's no reason for me to buy your insurance.
Right.
But the fact is that I think it's great that you've got a company out there that can help people just in cases like this. Because I've been hearing, you know, since we've lived in Northern California, problems with the water, with people coming in, that people have paid and had things done that's cost them thousands of dollars that perhaps they wouldn't have had to do if they could have had somebody, had their experts in there.
Yeah, if you feel like being kind of cowardly and paying them to go away, it usually costs you $20,000 to $30,000 to satisfy them with their take off of your flesh.
Yeah, in many cases, though, if they turned around, it would have cost them more to try and fight something like this.
Twice that on, to
yeah,
fight it.
To fight it, and now they've got away. Okay, we've got to take a break before
what
we get in our last
segment.
What happened
to the American dream? I mean, the American dream is that you buy a piece of property and you think, oh, I can grow my trees and I can have my garden and I've got running water and I can basically, so if it all goes to hell in a handbasket, I've got a place that I can live off of right now. And that's exactly what you're trying to help people do, is be able to still live that American dream where you don't have government breathing down your neck. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Down. No, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. That's an appropriate song. We play that at the end of our show, this last segment, because that's what we believe. You know, you got to stand up for yourself and for your friends and your country. 605-4567, Carl and Linda Bott, our guest, R.C. Anselmo from the Seven Hills Land and Cattle Company. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about TARS, the Agricultural Regulatory Service, an insurance agency that allows you to stand up to what you believe is unfair and maybe some unjust practices from our government that comes in on your land. Let's go to the phones. Ron.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
My question is, what is your insurance cost? And also, does it cover, there's talk about the counties and whatever, states pushing the counties to put water meters on your wells that you've had to drill yourself and then make you pay for the water that you use. Would it cover something like that? And I can take my answer on the air.
Oh, yeah. No,
thanks, Ron.
Ron, thank you for your questions. The cost of TARS is usually, you load in the matrix. By the way, thank you for letting us know that our website has been hacked by somebody unhappy.
Yeah, somebody else called in and said that it's been hacked.
There's a load-in of variables matrix on the website, and the average is, you know, about $2,000 a year for a TARS policy.
Okay.
And we don't insure water, and we're not in the water meter adjustment business. I'm not afraid of anything like that. That's all, you know, kooky. So it fits with what we're against, but it's not what Lloyds and I agreed that we're going to fight.
Okay.
So your TARS is more of a land issue, the right to be able to do, well, give us the perimeters.
You have to be accused of an environmental violation by an environmental regulatory service, by an agency of the government, that's federal, state, local, or what have you. Then we step in, because where agriculture is very strong is in its protections. It's not supposed to be regulated by environmental agencies when you're producing food on arable land. That's the whole, that's the unique protection that agriculture has in the eyes of the law. In order to get that out of the law, you have to take the people who wrongfully accused you into a court and embarrass them. And that's what we do.
Now, is this, do you get into existing, what if there's an existing case out there?
We can't know.
We can't get into that then. Okay.
There's lots of them. I know once the show is over, everybody's going to say, oh, I have this great case. They hurt me so bad. And I'm going to say, I can't help you. It's just the nature of insurance. You can't cover a pre-existing tort.
Okay. Now, okay, one more time then. It looks like the website's been hacked into. Is there another way for people to get in touch?
There's a 800 number. If I had a TARS card, I can tell you what it is. Don't worry, we'll restore the website. Yeah. By the end of today, it'll be up. Okay. Go to www.protectedbytars.com. The people who set up, our people, are very sophisticated with the Internet stuff. They'll clean that up.
Okay. Well, thanks. You know, thanks a lot for coming in and talking about that. You know,
I'll have to go because we are having a TARS conference at the Tehama County Farm Bureau office. It's on Sale Lane in Red Bluff. It's starting in half an hour. That's where I'm going to go next.
Okay, so it's going to be a TARS conference. And who's going to be there? Is it just farmers and ranchers?
I don't know.
There or
I don't know if I can I can use the expression. What if they gave a war and nobody came? I don't know if anybody's going to be there or not.
Well, you know, this is there any other insurance company or is there anybody else that has insurance against the government?
No. Not that I know of, and certainly not environmental regulatory.
You know, can this about would this been something that are getting into with say logging and the spotted owl? Is it something that they would have been able to get
into? Civiculture is one of the areas that is it is an agricultural operation. We can cover civiculture, yes.
Okay.
I'd be curious to hear today after your meeting what happens down at Tehama and the kind of response that you get from the farmers and the people who own land, farmers and landowners down in Tehama.
We'll see. I can't forecast at all what it'll be like. It could be a totally empty room. Don't know.
Well, it's the whole concept, though, is on one hand, you get excited about somebody that's starting to say, hey, look, you know, now you have assets to help stand up to this. But I find it sad that we have to do that. And I think it's great. I hope you get put out of business.
I agree. If the government is listening, hey, help everybody and put me out of business. But so far, we love our business. And I can't imagine living in California without a TARS policy.
Hey, our guest tomorrow, thank you so much, R.C., for
very
being
welcome.
Here and
thank
talking
you for
about
having that. Me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Tomorrow, Sheriff Tom Basenko will be on, and we're going to be talking about a number of different aspects of the community also. I want to talk about Tom about what's going on in our county, law enforcement-wise.
We thank you for calling in and texting us and also for coming on KCNR 1460. We like it when you put us in your bookmarks. This is Carl and Linda Bott.
Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.